it's good to see everybody out. It's good to come out, study God's Word, present it, to study it, and to continue to encourage each other to fight the good fight. This evening, I'd like to start our lesson off reading Psalm 121, if you'll open up your Bibles and turn along with me there. 121st Psalm. Verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. The lesson this evening is more focused on that first verse, but I believe the rest of it plugs in with it well to the point of God taking care of us. But pulling off the mindset of there, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. There's so many things that as we go through our lives here on earth that causes us to lift up our eyes to look at. Again, there's certainly many things in which men have created themselves, monuments, buildings, and great structures, but God Himself has already pulled our eyes up as we look up on the high mountains, as we look up to the tall trees, as we look up into the stars in the sky, as we look at the clouds as they pass by. Many things which draw our eyes up and look to the skies in a mindset of looking up high. And with that, and then the verse that we'll be ending with actually went right along with the song that we had sung just now, Higher Ground. The verse that was with that is Philippians 3, verse 14, and I plan on looking at that at the very end of the lesson. And to the point of a higher calling. And that we are called to look to God. And as you read this psalm again, it's looking to God. A higher way is letting the Lord take care of us, not doing everything on our own. It goes forward that my help comes from the Lord. He will keep us, and He will make sure that our slumber is well. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade. And the sun will not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from evil. The call to be God's. One of the things that has been pointed out time and again as we've been studying in the young adult class and just a couple lessons is that it keeps reaffirming the definition of church, which is the called out. Called out. And that we are called by God. Higher calling, a higher way. So if you will follow along, I want to make some points about that this evening. The first thing I want to bring out is just a higher call. That there is a way that is better than the way in which man will go. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, if you will. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, that we have to choose to put God above all. Acts 5. And looking there in verse 29, as they are of course being told to stop teaching the Lord. To listen to men as they threaten them again to stop in the way of teaching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so here it brings out, and will come forth those who did good deeds in the restructure of life, who committed evil deeds. It's not verse 20. I'm not in Acts, that's why. Let me get to the right book. Acts 5, verse 29. And Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. And so here it brings out as they were threatened about not teaching the Lord anymore, and they are being told not to continue to do so. Here they make it plain and clear that there is a higher call than just listening to the government. A higher call than just listening to men and their desires and their wills and their authority, but God's authority is higher than all. That they should listen to God rather than man. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 11, Acts 21 and looking there in verse 11, it says, says, and coming to us, and here, this is a warning to Paul. Someone else has seen this to take place. And so it says, in coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell in silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. The Holy Spirit came upon someone else, and he revealed, he takes Paul's belt and binds him up and says, whoever's belt this is what's going to happen to him. He is going to be bound. And he's going to be dragged off. And so here, everybody else, their mind said, all right, well, that's Paul's belt. This is a warning for Paul. And so they start pleading with him, begging with him, saying, don't go. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is the one that is revealed. And he knows that he has work to do. He knows he needs to go and present the Word of God, and that he cannot hide from it. And so he silenced them, other than the fact of saying, the Lord's will be done. He understood that there was a higher call than his selfishness, than our desires that to not have to go through suffering and persecution and trials. There was a higher calling. The Lord's will needed to be done. Jesus sets that example himself there in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, of course, as he is about to face his suffering and his persecution that he goes through for us. And as he prays to the Lord here, he says that he went a little beyond them, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. But we understand that we have to put God's will above ours. And we have been called by God to follow Him, to submit to Him, to surrender everything to God, and trust in Him, that He knows what is best in my interest. To be willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Him. And so we have been called to a higher calling. It means we've been called to a higher way of thinking. A higher way. And making sure that our minds stay pure and that they are focused on the things that God desires us to be focused on. In Colossians chapter 3, if you would. In Colossians chapter 3, and look along with me there, and starting in verse 1. Colossians 3, and starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, on the things, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And so here it tells us that we are to set our mind on higher things. On things that are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on heaven, on where He is at. Set your minds on coming before Him, before the judgment seat. Set your minds on eternal glory. Set your minds on how pure it will be, how loving it will be, how it will be without any sin and anything to deceive us there. On following Christ. It says not on the things of this world. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 29, again here, a way of thinking, we got to deny ourselves, get rid of that selfishness here. And so Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, as it reads here, it says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For a delight in these things, declares the Lord. So we don't delight in our physical strength. We don't delight in just our own wisdom. We don't delight in myself, but rather in God. And that means that we are going forth in what? Loving kindness, justice, righteousness. The ways of the Lord is what's supposed to be on our mind. And them are the things that we should boast about. That God is righteous and we strive to be like Him. That He is forgiving and we strive to be like Him. As good as we might be at forgiving or following or helping others, we are never as good as God. And so our boast is in God. In Philippians 4 and verse 8. Here it reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and if any worthy of praise, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And again, here it tells us what we should focus on, what our minds should focus on. And we don't get caught up and focused on the things of the world and entangled in worldly matters, but rather we focus on the things that are going to help us get to heaven, the things that relate to our Lord and Savior, the things that are worthy of praise. Again, it's a higher way of thinking that we don't continue to just dwell and allow the worries of the world to overtake. Rather, we give those things over to God so that we can meditate on things that are going to help us to fight the good fight, to live faithful in His service. And as we learn to think on these things and meditate on these things continuously, it'll help us in our lifestyles. We continue in a higher way of living, that we are going to put off these sins and no longer walk in them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and looking there, and in verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor Edomite, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God." And here it's saying again that you've changed your ways. You have put off the old man and now you walk in that newness of life. And so therefore you have to put those things behind you. Well, again, when we extend the Lord's invitation, we always make mention of that we are repenting of the sins. We are putting off the sins, that when you are baptized, you are raised up a new person. And so therefore, we don't walk in that way anymore. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. You have been cleansed. Therefore, we are no longer to be like the world anymore. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, starting there in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God, prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Again, as we are changed, it brings out, going back to our last point, that starts with the mind, that you renew your mind to the will of God. Going forth and proving those things, but we are no longer conformed to the world. No longer continuing in the ways that the world goes in. And so we are called to a higher calling, a way of living. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're looking there. Starting in verse 19, it makes the list of the works. works of the flesh, and it leads to talking about living by the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 19, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, passions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so again, we put off that. We no longer walk in the ways of the world. We've been called to a higher way, to following in the footsteps of Christ. So verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." And again, so again, we put on Christ. And so we put on Christ, and therefore we are to walk by the Spirit. We are to produce fruits of the Spirit. This morning we brought out the point, wrong is wrong, and in the verses that we have read, it brought out a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And so, if a worldly person is not going to produce good fruits, fruit of the Spirit, but rather, a worldly person will continue down the works of the flesh. If we put on Christ, then we must continue in the ways of Christ. We must continue to follow and be like Him. That helps us along in our lives in a higher way of love, right? That as we look to God, He sets the example on how we ought to love. In Matthew chapter 5, making sure that our love extends all the way to all those who we need to love as God commands us to do so. In Matthew 5 and verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, and He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He goes forth and He loves everyone, including His enemies." And that is what separates. That's something that separates us from the world. That the world knows how to love its friends. The world knows how to give to those who have given to them. But the world does not have the mindset to continue to love, to pray for, and to bless those who have done you wrong, to those who you do not necessarily get along with. That we still have love for our enemies. And then, of course, that love is to be continued, that we still love our neighbors. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and reading there in verse 37. Matthew 22, and verse 37. As it reads here, it says, "And He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That we have that love for our neighbor. And that we can go down the story that the parable that the Lord had given about the man who was going down the road, and he was beat and robbed and led for death, and then you had the priest who walked by, and a Levite who walked by and did not help. And then you had the Samaritan that did help. And then he asked the question at the end, who is his neighbor? The one who showed kindness. The one who showed the sympathy. The one who was merciful and helped him out. So we're supposed to go and do likewise. That God has shown us a higher way of loving. That we have love for one another. We have love for our neighbors. We keep on thriving in our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 9. As it reads here, it says, "Now, as love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write. For you yourselves ought to be taught by God, are to be taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are all in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more." And they continue to add to their love, continue to grow in it and abound in it. Again, as it brought out, they are taught by God. God sets an example. God shows us a way. There's not a greater sacrifice or a showing of love than for one to lay down his life for another. And that's what our Lord and Savior did. He laid down his life for us, and he gives us that golden rule that we ought to treat one another as we desire to be treated. In Luke chapter 6, and in verse 31, it says, "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." So we are called to a higher calling. In Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 14, that is the verse that went right above in your hymn books. It would be the one that's right above the psalm, right under the title. It was there on the PowerPoint under the title. It says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, Paul's making the point that in flesh he would have the most to boast in. Because he was circumcised on the eighth day, he grew in the word and followed the ways of the law, and he went forth and he persecuted the church, and he did everything according to the flesh that he was supposed to do. And so if there was one to glory in the flesh, he's saying, "I would be the one." But as you continue through there in Philippians, he ends up getting to the point of letting it be known that he is willing to cast all those things aside for Christ. In verse 8 it says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." And he continues faithfully so that he can receive that reward in heaven, so that he can be part of the resurrection that ends up going and being with the Lord for eternity. So he says, "I press forward. I continue to move forward for that goal, that prize of that upward call, that higher call of our Lord and Savior." The question we have to ask ourselves, are we answering that call? Be higher than we should be upon this earth. And being with the rest of the people, as we talked this morning, that we can't just allow the world to determine where we need to be, but rather look to God. Let Him show you where you need to be. Let Him continue to help you. And so again, we extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who need the prayers of the brethren. If there's anything we do for you, we'll let it be known.